Welcome to Laudio. I'm Lisa McIntosh. In the Lutheran Church, we don't tend to talk much about angels and demons, yet Martin Luther had plenty to say about the devil and spiritual warfare, as well as the forces of light. And the Bible is full of references to spiritual beings and activity. But it seems to be an area of faith that's shrouded in mystery. So we've asked Pastor Michael Dutschke, who leads prophetic ministry workshops about understanding the spiritual realm, to share a little of what he's learnt about these topics. Pastor Michael is also the shepherd of the flock at Grace Bridgewater in the Adelaide Hills. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be here, Lisa.
What are prophetic ministry workshops?
That's a very good question, because it's a term, prophetic. Well, people have different understandings of that. Mm. How I understand it is it's operating and understanding what happens in the unseen realm, which we're going to talk about, and it's what happens there affects us, and what we do can affect what happens there. So it's operating in that unseen realm.
So that is the topic of our chat today, and we're following on from an article that appeared in this October-November edition of the Lutheran on angels and demons. So are spiritual beings like angels and demons real, or are they just creatures of myth or fantasy stories? What would you say to someone who asks you that?
Well, that's a really good question, and the answer depends on what your source of information is. And so the source of information I have is from the Bible, and the Bible is very clear that there are spiritual beings, angels and demons, and people had encounters with them in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament.
Yeah. I don't need to ask you my next question, which was, how do we know they're real? Because you've explained that. It's in the Bible. So what purposes do angels serve? Do we learn that in the Bible too?
Yeah, we certainly do, and angels are there to serve God, and they serve as messengers. And so we have, like, Gabriel, who gives a message to Mary. They are warriors and protectors, and Michael is seen as a warrior angel. He's also an archangel. And also they minister to God's people, like when Jesus, after 40 days and tempted in the wilderness, it said the angels came and ministered to him. So they all have a function to serve God, but for people.
And is that why you were named Michael?
I don't know. It was a popular name, yes, so there's lots of us around.
You've talked about angels active in a biblical sense. Mm. Well, are they still active in our earthly world today? And if so, how do we know that's the case?
That's a good question, and depends on who you talk to, you come up with different answers, because the unseen realm, it's quite a subjective thing. Mm. People say, well, I believe they're active because of this reason, and so it's quite a subjective thing. I believe they are very active, and part of my workshops and what I want to disciple people is how to recognize their activity and what we can do about that.
That's a fascinating thought, what we can do about it, and we'll get into that a bit later. So demons we know of, and the devil, Satan himself, from the Bible as a fallen angel.
Yes.
So is that really the case with demons? Is that what they are? And if so, how did that come about?
The best place in the Bible where we get some description of that is in Revelation chapter 12, where it says there was a war that broke out in heaven. Mm. Between Michael and the angels under his authority, and against Lucifer, who was also an angel, and the angels under Lucifer's authority. And it says a third of the angels were swept out of heaven. So that's what we call fallen angels, because they fell from heaven.
Mm. Okay. You've said about angels being active in our earthly world today. What about demons? Are they active today too? We read stories in the Bible about demon possession and Jesus driving out demons, and then in the early church the apostles doing the same. Yes. Are they still active today?
Well, I believe they are. Mm. And that's part of that discernment on, well, how do you know what's activity of demons and what's activity of humans? We have in the Bible a lot of instructions about what to do to resist the devil, we're told by Peter, because he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. In Ephesians, Paul said, don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. So even that says, well, the devil is actually active, and his demons. So we need to be alert. And also in Ephesians 6, it talks about we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the spirituality and powers in the heavenly realms. So the Bible, through the epistles, makes it quite clear that demons do have an impact on us, mm-hmm. and that we need to be aware of that and learn how to stand against that.
Okay, so in the long term, should we be fearful of them? I mean, you've talked about being alert and being aware. Yeah. Should we fear them?
I don't believe we, and the Bible makes that clear too. We're not to fear them, but we need to understand them, because they do have some rights, and they have some schemes. Mm. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul actually told the church in Corinth to forgive a brother who had sinned. Welcome him back, he says, because we are not unaware of the devil's schemes. So the scheme to divide, that is a scheme of the devil. So we need to understand that, not to fear him, but to understand and then use the weapons that God has given us to resist him and stand against him.
Mm. Well, what are those weapons that we're given to resist the devil?
So they're weapons that we use frequently. In churches and Christians, we don't even know their weapons. So when we forgive someone who sinned against that, we remove any opportunity the devil is to divide. Mm. When we repent of sins we have done, that's a weapon. We have Holy Communion and baptism. They are weapons. The Lord's Prayer is a weapon. And we have the authority of Jesus. That is all weapons that we are given to be able to stand against the devil's schemes and resist him. And in 2 Corinthians talks about even demolishing strongholds that the devil has established, to actually demolish them. These are the weapons, and the truth, the word of God, is a weapon.
Mm. It's a different way of looking at it, although, of course, there is the imagery of put on the breastplate of
Righteousness
yeah. and pick up the sword of, what's that one?
Sword of the Spirit, yes. And it's interesting, Lisa, where as I've studied those texts, that there actually are two, I think, at times that we call it spiritual warfare, because mm-hmm. we're not fighting against human beings. So there's defense mm-hmm. to stop the devil from getting a foothold. That's what we're told, that if mm-hmm. we go to bed angry, we can give opportunity for the devil to establish a stronghold of unforgiveness. So there's the defense to stop him, and when we're told to resist, we're stopping him from establishing any sort of influence on us. But then there is offense, when if he's established a foothold or a stronghold, that we have weapons to be able to take back the ground that Satan has gained in our lives.
And what are some of those things that we would use to be offensively taking back the ground? Is that further use of prayer?
Yes, the same. So the sort of things we get in the Bible where forgive those mm-hmm. who sin against. And so mm-hmm. when there's forgiveness and repentance and reconciliation, that is the breaking down of a stronghold, especially in 2 Corinthians, where it talks about that lies we believe about God and about others and about ourselves can be a stronghold. So when we renounce and repent of believing of the lies, they are weapons, and we declare and receive the truth, that is another weapon to demolish strongholds. And it says we stand against every pretension that sets itself up against the truth about who we are. And we might take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That is warfare. Mm. When we get rid of that with the power of God, to get rid of the lies we've believed and receive the truth.
Mm. And when you talk about who we are there, you're talking, I imagine, about that we're God's children, God's chosen, mm. and that therefore he fights to protect us too.
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting, Lisa, that as I pray with people and sense of the stronghold of lies they believed about themselves, a very common one is that people are quite condemning of themselves and say that I could never be forgiven for that, or I'm a terrible person because I've did that, to actually lead them in a prayer of renouncing that lie and declaring the truth, there is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. So that is a very common one, even amongst long-term Christians, where there's something in them. They believe the lie and it really has become a stronghold in their mind that through the power of God can be demolished.
Mm. And Satan works with those things, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier that in Ephesians, Paul refers to the spiritual world as the heavenly realms.
Yes.
So is there more you can elaborate on about the heavenly realms? What are they? What happens there?
So the Bible talks about three different realms. I will talk about Ephesians because there are different terms. Paul uses the term the heavenly realms, and he talks about three different realms. So one is heaven, where God is, and he's everywhere. So don't think location, think dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven's also called the third heaven. And Paul talked about being caught up into the third heaven and saw things too amazing for words. And then there are the heavens, which is the realm of the demons and angels. That's what I call that, where heaven encompasses that, but angels are able to go back up to heaven, but they operate in the heavens or the second heaven, and they are the unseen realms. What we see is the earth.
Okay. And so that's the third realm or the first realm? That's
the Well, it's interesting that Paul talked about being caught up in the third heaven.
Yes.
Although in the Bible, it never talks about the second heaven and the first heaven. So by deduction, it says the earth is the first heaven. The realm of angels and demons is the second heaven. And where God is the third heaven. So the Bible doesn't consistently use the same terms.
Yeah. So because we believe that God is with us,
yes,
that's how the earth qualifies as the first heaven.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. How much of what happens in the spiritual world impacts our daily lives?
So that's a very good question. I actually like Luther when he talked about that we deal with the devil, the world, and our sinful self.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a situation where, let's say there's a group of people meeting and there's a bit of conflict, you can say, well, is that a human thing? Is that to do with the world, or is the devil involved in that? And I would say, well, probably all three. And if we think there's nothing spiritual going on, well, then we have to ignore a lot about what the Bible says, where it says be alert, because the devil, he's seeking someone to devour. And I think conflict, whilst it involves humans, can also have a demonic influence as well. So that's the question, and there's no definitive answer. It is subjective, but this is about, well, we need to learn about that, because sometimes we try and solve spiritual problems with human answers, and sometimes we try and solve human problems with spiritual answers. So it's learning how to operate in all those areas, I believe.
Do we find all those answers in the Bible, do you think?
As I've been journeying on this, I believe we find the answers there. And I suppose the more we look at the Bible and our own experience, experience is subjective to what the Bible says. But at the same time, when what we learn from experience, we can look back at the Bible and say, ah, okay, I get it now. That seems to line up. So I suppose since I've learned more in this area, I read the Bible differently, or I see things in the Bible that I never saw before I grew in this understanding. Yeah.
Sure. And you've talked about some of the things that we can do that impact the spiritual world.
Yes.
Some of the defensive weapons we have and the offensive weapons we have. But how much impact do you think we have in the spiritual world?
Well, Jesus said all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and he gives us, delegates our authority, so we can, well, maybe I'll quote Paul where he says, far more than we can ever ask for or even imagine.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that has to be an encouragement to us. Yeah. Is that how you see it?
Yeah. Well, I see it as that. And it's a learning thing to say, well, I don't know all the answers and I don't know what spiritual impact is happening here and what I can do about it, but I can try things from what the Bible says. Well, I'll try. I'll renounce the lie that I believed or lead someone to do that and plant the truth in there and see what happens.
Do you think it's fair to say that in the Lutheran Church we don't tend to talk much about spiritual beings or the spiritual realms? Is that a fair statement? And if it is, why do you think that's the case?
Well, that was my experience as I grew up. It was only in my late 20s, early 30s that I started getting exposure to this realm, and I thought I need to learn about this because I wasn't taught that. It wasn't that my pastors and other leaders withheld that, but they didn't teach me that because that wasn't something that they'd learned about either. And so that is part of why I think, well, if I've learned some things in here, I want to teach others about this, or not only just teach, disciple others, because this is one aspect of the Christian walk that as Lutherans really haven't had a lot of good teaching. There's lots of bad teaching out there probably, which can be a bit of a put off, but to say, well, let's actually go back to the Bible. What does that say? How are we to operate in this realm and learn as we go?
So what are the dangers as you see it of not being engaged or tuned in or even talking about this subject?
So the dangers are, one you sort of referred to, is that we fear the devil, and so this is something you do out of fear. A danger would be being obsessed with this thing. I think it's important to understand, but not to be obsessed with it. And the danger is when we start talking about things as if they are absolute truth in this area, to say the devil, clearly this is a demonic involvement that's going on here, needs to be done with discernment and with others, and always subjective to what the Bible says and to the authority of the church. That's how I see that.
And are there things that we haven't covered yet today that you would like to cover or share with our listeners?
So I don't claim to be an expert in this area, but I have had a lot of experience and continue to. And so always happy to talk to people if I can be of assistance. That's why I run the prophetic ministry workshops. I do them under the authority of the church, with the knowledge of the church, and with the blessing of the bishops in whatever district I'm at, because I want to be under authority. And this is part of discipleship. Discipleship is learning the Bible and learning about God, but it's also learning how to operate in this realm.
You did mention discipling people as against just teaching people. So what's the big difference?
Well, Jesus said, go make disciples. He didn't say, go teach. Well, teaching is part of it, but actually learning, what does this look like in my day-to-day life? So this is part of what I do. I'll talk to people about this and they'll say, well, what do we do here? I said, well, why don't you try this? This is to actually make a declaration and to use your authority. So I love saying this has to be practical. If it's not practical, I can have all the knowledge, but if I don't apply it in my life, to me that's not discipleship, that's just gaining knowledge.
So talking about those practical applications, would you encourage people to look at their prayer life as a foundational thing when we look at spiritual influence and impact?
Absolutely. So our relationship with God is the foundation for all of this. And understanding Him, growing in Him, that is a foundation. Without that, it's a very dangerous thing. Then it becomes what we do rather than what coming out of our relationship with God. I had a conversation with the pastor and he was talking about a situation where he was going somewhere. It was quite a significant spiritual event, a church event, and he had a car accident. A car rammed him. And he said, do you think that was just, you know, the world, a human thing, or is it a spiritual thing? I said, well, what do you think? And so he said, well, it could have been spiritual as well. I said, oh, I agree, because, you know, that would suit the devil. So what could you do about that? Well, one is to, before a spiritual event, to actually pray, declare under the name of Jesus that you're under the authority of Jesus, and forbid any evil spirit from impacting. The interesting story was that after the accident, they had a lot of trouble with the insurance company paying out some things. And I said, well, you could take some authority over that. And so what he did, he says, I wasn't sure, but I said this, something like this. Devil, if you have anything to do with the holding up of the insurance money, I resist you and rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I declare that whatever is due to me, I release that in the name of Jesus. And he said, 2 days later, he got a phone call or an email to say that he would be paid out. And he said, he was amazed by that. And I said, well, you never know what happened there. That's so right. That's whole room, understanding, that we have some authority in that area.
Yeah. That's probably, to some people, a little bit daunting as well.
Yeah.
So what are the basic guidelines for understanding that authority, using that authority?
For me, the guidelines are we need to be discipled in this. So I say, if you're unsure, walk with someone, talk to me and say, well, what do I do? What's the first step? I said, well, try this. Yeah. And then you learn, just like you did. And say, okay, well, maybe I'm learning something here. So it's about learning, just like we learn what God is like, we learn what authority we have. It's a learning thing, which is discipleship. So this trying to do things, it's all about me. I have to learn this by myself. You don't get that in the Bible either. It's about discipling. And Paul discipled all these church workers because he didn't do stuff by himself. He wanted to disciple them in how to be a pastor, how to be an apostle. So it's about discipleship.
Mm. Yes. And you did mention Luther before. He did have a reasonable amount to say about otherworldly or spiritual realms. What would you see as some of the other most important things that he might have said about this?
Well, that's a good comment, because when I go through the catechism and look, he talks about the devil a lot and very aware of the spiritual realm. One of the comments when he talked about the devil, the world and the flesh, I really, really liked. He said, like, they're all three at work. He said, for young people, the flesh tends to be the biggest enemy. And then as people grow up, then the world is a big, strong influence. And he says, and those who seek to serve God in the church, they learn about the devil. Because what does the devil want to do? He wants to destroy the church. Well, if he doesn't destroy it, he wants to diminish its effectiveness. So, yeah, Luther has a lot to say about the devil, which, like I said, when I was growing up, I missed all that. But to go back now, it's like, wow, he's worse than I am.
We know that Jesus has won the victory over sin, death and the power of the devil.
Yes.
We're told that, and again by Luther.
Yeah.
So how does that work alongside the idea that we still need to be aware of this ongoing spiritual battle?
Yes.
If the battle's already been won,
yes,
why is the battle still playing out, I guess?
That's a really good question. So we know what the end result is. We've seen the end of the book, you know. So there'll be a new heaven and new earth, and there'll be no struggles, no sickness, nothing, no disasters, no pain. That belongs to this world. And so I like when Jesus says he's come to give life in all its fullness, and the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. And so for me, this whole area is about experiencing the life that God has for us here, and we can make a kingdom difference in other people's lives as well.
Thank you so much, Pastor Michael Dutschke, for sharing your thoughts. And thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us today. If you're not already a Laudio subscriber, go to www.lca.org.au/podcasts to sign up to be notified each time a new podcast is released. God bless and bye for now.